Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you can be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look at an article in the January 2013 edition of Ensign Magazine, an article titled, Great and Marvelous Are the Revelations of God, written by a church history department person called Garrett Dirkmott. Yesterday, we were talking a little bit about this Urim and Thummim and the seer stone and how Joseph Smith translated the Book of Mormon using this seer stone, put in the bottom of a hat, which of course raises the question if he was really translating, quote unquote, the Book of Mormon from this alleged magical rock. He didn't even seem to be needing to look at the plates themselves. In fact, his brother William makes the comment that at times that he noticed that the plates were lying nearby covered up. That raises a controversy right there. But in this article, it's supposed to be showing us the prophetic role that Joseph Smith had and how he received revelations. So we're going to take it from there. We're going to talk about this Urim and Thummim that was mentioned yesterday.
Well, As far as the biblical idea of what a Urim and Thummim is, according to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, it's a means of revelation used by the high priest in giving Yahweh's answer to inquiries, and that's the high priest in the days of the Old Testament, of course. The thing about this, though, as we've done some study on this, there's just no description of what these look like. And we don't know, what exactly they were. It's very nebulous as to what the exact details are. But the article goes on and says, the Urim and Thummim belong to God. They were entrusted to Levi, according to Deuteronomy 33:8, in the person of the high priest, and stored in his breastpiece. That's Exodus 28:30 and Leviticus 8:8, and that was fastened on what's called the ephod. And the sole mention of the Urim in Numbers 27:21 and Leviticus 8:8, or of the ephod in the context of inquiring of God in 1 Samuel 23:9 through 12, indicates a reference to the Urim and Thummim.
Okay, so these stones, I'm to understand, were fastened to the breastplate, the ephod.
On the ephod
of the high priest. Now, there is some belief among some scholars that maybe this Urim and Thummim could have been detached from the ephod. But at the same time, most of the time, I guess we see that they are attached. If they are attached, and this is how they're operating, and again, folks, this, like Eric has said, this is very vague. There's not a lot of information on this, which, you know, when you think about it, gives Joseph Smith a lot of latitude as to what he can make up. Because we don't have a lot on this.
Well, we don't have a lot. There was very little in the 19th century. They couldn't just go on the internet and jump onto Wikipedia and find out what this was.
But it was obviously something that was very special that was meant to give answers to inquiries. Now, in a 21st century mind, that certainly seems odd to us. It seems odd to me. But this is what the Old Testament says. Do we find anywhere, Eric, in the Old Testament where this device was used for translating?
Well, not at all. And the one best passage we have is Numbers 27:21 I referred to earlier. And the civil leader, which there at that time would have been Joshua, could inquire of God through the high priest, quote, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in. It was used for revelation in a simplistic way. We're not sure if that was through lots. We're not sure exactly how this all worked, because they don't give us a lot of details here in the Old Testament. But, of course, with the limited references that we have, we find absolutely nothing that has to do with translation.
But yet, in the Book of Mormon, it doesn't mention Urim and Thummim specifically in the Book of Mormon. But as we mentioned yesterday, Joseph Fielding Smith, the 10th president of the church, refers to the Book of Ether and the brother of Jared having what were known as interpreters. And Mormons have understood this to mean that the brother of Jared, who is not given a name. Joseph Smith later came up with a name. Mahanri Mori Ankomer was the name he just gives to this guy. And again, it's Joseph Smith, so he can do anything he wants. So he gives a name to this guy. And we have to assume that Mahanri Mori Ankomer, the brother of Jared, had a set of this Urim and Thummim that he was told to seal up. Now, that tells us that there had to have at least been two sets. Because the brother of Jared, he comes over to the Western Hemisphere around the time of the confusion of languages at the Tower of Babel. So he has his own set. And then later on, this other set shows up among the children of Israel and is being used by the high priest.
I think it's 10th President Joseph Fielding Smith who acknowledged that there were two different sets.
Mm-hmm. He has to. There has to be two different sets. But otherwise, how in the world did this Urim and Thummim get over on the Western Hemisphere? It had to happen at some period of time. And it could not have been the same as what they had over in Palestine.
Well, yeah.
Because they're using it later on after they've already allegedly left.
But how could you have another set when this was attached to the high priest's ephod, that there's only one high priest? I'm not quite sure how you could justify the rationale that there were multiple Urim and Thummims flying around.
Well, when you're making it up as you go along, I guess you can. But the point that is brought out in this article is that Smith did use this Urim and Thummim for translating purposes. And there's an interesting picture on page 47 in this article. And the caption says, "A representation of King Mosiah translating the Jaredite record using the Urim and Thummim." And what does it look like? It shows a man looking at, I don't even know what that really is, but
it looks like a stick almost with holding up a rock, and he's looking through almost like a spectacle. This is what it looks like.
Yeah, and he's reading something because he's using his finger to point at some, it looks like
writing
of some sort,
yeah,
but he has something in front of his eyes that he's looking through. The interesting thing I find in that is rarely do we ever see a picture put out by the Mormon Church where Joseph Smith has these spectacles, as he called them, this Urim and Thummim, in front of his face looking through them at the gold plates in order to translate them. Most of the time you see a picture of Joseph Smith looking in what I would say is a prayerful look with his fingers running along the actual gold plates, as if he's just looking at the plates and somehow God is telling them what those Reformed Egyptian characters, because that's what we are told they were, actually meant in English. You don't see Joseph Smith with these spectacles on his face. It's not that there has never been a picture of him, because there was a long time ago in one of the children's magazines, if I'm not mistaken, they did have a picture of Joseph Smith looking through these strange-looking spectacles, if you will. Now, there was a film that came out a while back about the gold plates that was not produced by the Mormon Church, but in that film, they actually showed Joseph Smith with a breastplate and these spectacles in front of him, and he was looking at the plates through these spectacles. That's one of the rare times where I've ever even heard of a Mormon mentioning them, because though they talk about the Urim and Thummim, they don't usually talk about them as Smith actually using them, because what I'm trying to get across is we don't get a very visual picture of what this probably would look like. That film did, but as the film progresses and Joseph Smith is translating the plates, after a while he doesn't need these spectacles any longer.
And that's what the picture right below refers to. And the caption says, "Soon after the organization of the church in April 1830, Joseph Smith began dictating revelations without use of the seer stones."
Well, okay, so now he doesn't need them any longer. And so what happens now? We just have to assume that now Joseph Smith, I guess, has progressed or matured in his role as a prophet. So now he doesn't even have to look at plates at all. And that was one thing the film brought out. He's actually looking kind of like up in the air, not even looking at plates. And he's translating. He's translating plates, looking at nothing. That's not typically how people understand the word translation.
Right.
Usually when you hear the word translation, you think of going from one language to another, and people who translate languages have to at least look at the original language in order to know what to translate it into. And that's probably why Daniel Peterson says that this sounds a little odd to us, as I mentioned yesterday, and it certainly does. So anyway.
I need to point out, as far as the Old Testament is concerned, it's a very limited time. And according to the scholars, that after the time of David, 1000 BC, that they started to use counselors. 2 Samuel 16:23 suggests that there's a new trend, and 1 Kings 12 and Jeremiah 18 also refer to this idea. If the church is a restoration of the New Testament Christianity, for 1,000 years of the Old Testament and right into the New Testament times, we never see the word Urim or Thummim ever used. I think that's problematic, because why all of a sudden does Joseph Smith need to use a Urim and Thummim to do his work?
He tends to be going backwards instead of forward. I think that's a fair question. I'm not exactly sure what a Mormon response would be to that.
And I guess another issue that I have a problem with is if he was so gifted at being able to do this, whether he used these instruments are not in the Book of Abraham that he supposedly translated in 1835, that's found in the Pearl of Great Price, it's been shown that he didn't know anything about what he called Reformed Egyptian. These were hieroglyphics. He has no clue as to what he's doing, and Egyptologists would say that Joseph Smith made a very bad translation of the scrolls.
So let me put that in another way. If Joseph Smith no longer needed the Urim and Thummim because he was maturing in his role as prophet,
yep,
and he translates the Book of Abraham from the Egyptian papyri that he received from Michael Chandler at that time, why is it that he messed up so badly in the translation?
And how do we know he didn't mess up so badly in other D&C translations that he gets from God, the Word from God, or just from the Book of Mormon itself? If he's not using it all the time there, how do we know that that's accurate?
Yeah, it's difficult to use that test against the Book of Mormon because we don't have any of these plates that we can examine, but we certainly do have the material from which he gives us the Book of Abraham. And that has caused a lot of problems for a lot of modern Latter-day Saints, because qualified Egyptologists have admitted that Smith's translation of the Book of Abraham was entirely inaccurate.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Let me ask you this. Are you confidently prepared to share your faith with your Latter-day Saint friend or acquaintance? Do you feel you have an adequate grasp of Mormon doctrine and history? Well, if not, then we encourage you to attend Mormonism Research Ministries' Compassionate Boldness Symposium coming up on Saturday, March 23rd. This four-hour event will take place at Shadow Mountain Church in West Jordan, Utah. MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will focus on such issues such as the Book of Mormon, the Godhead, and salvation. Special emphasis will be made on how to answer LDS proof texts and the questions Mormons may pose. Now again, this event is free and open to the public, so everyone is invited to come. For those who would like to do further research, a book table will also be available. This Compassionate Boldness Symposium will take place starting at 9 a.m. on Saturday, March 23rd at Shadow Mountain Church, located just off Old Bingham Highway at 9324 South and 5600 West in West Jordan. As always, we look forward to seeing you there.